Okay, maybe we can get started. I'd like to start by singing 153, thinking specifically of the first verse. It says, "Whom have we, Lord, but thee, soul thirst to satisfy? Exhaustless spring, the water's free, all other streams are dry." If I get somebody to start that, so I don't do it too high. Ask the Lord for his help. So as I mentioned yesterday, what I wanted to talk about was being thirsty. And I have water here. Today's a hot day. And I think probably most of you guys understand a little bit what it's like to be thirsty, particularly when it's roasting hot. You don't want to be too far from water. And I know whenever you're playing sports, my boys love playing soccer, you always want to have water nearby. And what impressed me as I thought about this was how much the Bible has to say about water and thirst particularly, and how applicable it is to every one of you young people. You know, I've just been thinking this afternoon, there are young people who, I went to camps like this when I was young, and I mentioned this yesterday, who no longer are really following the Lord. And in most cases, it probably was because they had a thirst that they wanted to have satisfied, and they went somewhere else for that thirst to be satisfied. Not necessarily because they out and out rejected the Lord, but the two weren't compatible and they ended up messing up their life because of it. So I'd like to go back. We talked with Jeremiah yesterday and Josiah. Just to read what it says there in Jeremiah as a starting point connected with yesterday. So Jeremiah. Chapter. Chapter 2, but just for the connection, we'll go back to chapter 1. Verse 2, it says, "There to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign." And go down to verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put words in thy mouth." So let's just turn over to the next chapter. So this is, the first chapter is where the Lord tells Jeremiah he needs to speak, and he says he's too young, and the Lord helps him, his presence helps him, and he takes his hand and he touches his mouth. And then we get into chapter 2, and this is what the Lord tells him to say to Israel. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord." And then, I'm going to skip down just to what I want to cover today, which is verse 13. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." So yesterday we talked about when this was happening in Israel's history. They had really turned their back on God. They had started doing, and I don't know exactly why, but they had started sacrificing their children to other gods. They had set up altars to the sun in the temple. There was a number of things that they were doing. And you know, you might ask your question, why would they do that? And I've watched some commentaries on Israel, or documentaries, I guess, on Israel, and I think it might have been Baal and some of the other gods who were over the fertility of the land, and they often did it to get something that they wanted. But here it said they did two things. They forsook the person who could give them fountains of living water, and they tried to get it somewhere else. You know, I think every one of us in our lives has thirsts of various sorts. And it changes different ages in our life. Maybe when you're young, you want to be popular in your class. Or maybe it's when you're older, you want to get a good job. Or maybe you want to get married. Or maybe you want to have a good education. Or maybe there are various things that we have desires for in our life. And you know, there's different types of thirst. There's a physical thirst, like when you're outside today and it's roasting hot and you need water. There's spiritual thirst, and there's natural desires that we have that are thirst as well. I don't know that I've thought through that as well. But you know what the amazing thing is God can satisfy our thirst. Often teenagers will they want to party with their friends, and they go get, if they just really want to have be able to have fun with them, and so they turn to alcohol, or maybe it's drugs, or maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or maybe it's, but they don't turn to God. You know what's remarkable to me, and one of the things that impressed me, is thirst is addressed a lot in the Bible. One of the very things that this book ends with is the cry that goes out that says, if anybody is thirsty, come to me and drink. Let's just turn to Revelation, last book of the Bible. Chapter 22. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That cry goes out saying, if you're thirsty, come to me. The Lord is calling that out. If you're thirsty, come to me. That is an incredible thing. And I'd like you guys to think about what you're thirsty for in your life. You know, it starts, however, with the gospel. And before I go there, what I want to point out, this is something else I enjoyed. We talked about yesterday about the practical side of the dispensations. Another thing that I enjoyed recently is if you go back, you know, we're in the middle now. Jesus has died and risen again, and we're waiting for him to come back. Going to be the tribulation, then you have the millennium, the eternal state. You know, there was no thirst in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. Yesterday, Josh talked about the fact that we're a dependent creature, and God had made everything in that garden that they needed, and one of the things there was a river. Let's just turn to that very quickly in Genesis 2. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. So you have this beautiful garden. It has a river flowing through it. I would assume that's where Adam and Eve got their water from. But there was a source of something to quench their thirst there. Everything that they needed. They wouldn't have had those desires. Now the Lord obviously had asked them not to eat the fruit of that tree, but there was no need for them to be thirsty there at all. And you know, if we go into the future, one of the greatest hopes that we have that I mentioned yesterday that's easy to forget is that the Lord's coming back. You know what the amazing thing is when the Lord comes back, we're going to have, and calls us to heaven, there's going to be the judgment where the Lord deals with the sin in this world, and then he's going to come back down, he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and he's going to rule out of Jerusalem in Israel. And one of the things that has impressed me is that during that 1,000 years, there is a source to satisfy thirst that is absolutely incredible. Let's just turn to that very quickly. It's in Ezekiel. Verse 1. Afterwards he brought me under the door of the house, and these chapters cover the temple that's going to be set up at that time. But he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and brought me about without under the outer gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. I'm not going to read this, but the waters flow out and they get wider and wider and deeper and deeper and deeper. Very interesting picture here. It's coming out of the house from the altar. There's this source of water. You know, when the Lord, and this is an amazing thing to think about from a practical standpoint. You know, this world is so worried about greenhouse emission or what's going to happen to the environment in terms of the polar ice melting and the sea levels going up. And you know, the Lord is going to fix almost all of those problems for this 1,000 years. And not only that, but we're going to have this source, this river that comes out. You know, I don't fully understand it, but just in thinking about this topic, how in the future there will be no need for that thirst in the same way. You know, we have the same picture, and I just want to turn over this because in the Garden of Eden there was no need to be thirsty. In the future there's going to be no need to be thirsty. And I won't actually even turn to this, but in Revelation chapter 21, it talks to, actually let's turn to it just quickly. First verse. It's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, and I'm not sure I understand this as fully as I would like to, but again, it's just interesting here. It says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So here, again, you have coming out of the throne of God this river. No need to be thirsty at that time either. right from where God is. And it's interesting where the source is always in these situations where the Lord is. Garden of Eden, the Lord would come and he would spend time with them. In the millennium, when he sets up he rules the world from Jerusalem. You see it there, and then here you see it coming out of the throne of God. You know what? And I didn't even notice this before. But again, going back to, it's good to have these things understood in our minds, and you know, I don't. Even I was probably in my 40s before I could point you to the verses. But in the eternal state, which is what happens after the millennium, you know, the final cry is that the Lord is going to provide for our thirst. Let's just turn to that very quickly in Revelation 21, it's going back. In verse 6. I'm not going to try to explain this other than to say that for all of eternity, there will be no need to be thirsty. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Absolutely, for all of eternity, for anybody in this room, there's going to be no need to be thirsty at all. The water of life is offered freely. Again, I don't fully understand it, but it's an incredible thing to realize that in the future there'll be no thirst. If there hadn't been sin, there would have been. But we're in a place now where there is thirst. And that's a little bit what I want to talk about today. You know, I have thirst in my life. Maybe it's very different. I often think when I come home from work, I drop my kids off at the bus stop at 10 after 7, I drive to work, I get there at 8, I'm usually there till 5:30, and I don't get home until about 6:15. I'm often very tired by the time I get home. And there's a huge temptation, I just want to, I'd like to have something that's refreshing. You know what I do? I have my phone, it's easy to flip it open, and maybe look at Facebook or read the news. There's just a natural thirst in me for something to just relax and... But you know, that's a wrong place to go to get satisfied. And often, I sit there and maybe I waste a half an hour of time. And I end up being more thirsty after I've done that than I was before I started. You know, I think it's like those broken cisterns or containers that don't hold any water at all. And it's easy to reject the source. You know, it's not intuitive. You know, Kevin told a story, it was just a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking about this matter, Kevin's house, this is, about Texas, where the temperature was well into the hundreds, and they were trying to figure out ways to make sure that the workers didn't get dehydrated. I think this was actually Marion House's brother, David, that said this. The only person who got dehydrated in that company was the guy who drove the water truck. Interesting. That was the only person who... And it may seem foolish to think about that. But sometimes, and it is true, the very thing that satisfies the desires of our heart is right there, and we don't take it. What does it say in Jeremiah? It says, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Hewn them out, cisterns, broken cisterns. You know, that's often where I am. You know, when I do spend the time to read my Bible and spend some time in the Lord's presence, I almost always come away feeling refreshed and encouraged. And that's what you want from water, is to be have your thirst refreshed. So I mentioned that. So there's an initial thirst in all of us, and actually one of the things that made me think of this topic is if you don't know the Lord, There is a thirst there that is never going to be fully satisfied. You know, I was thinking recently, there's been a whole slew of suicides in Hollywood. Just a couple weeks ago, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, who's probably not pronouncing his name right. I didn't even necessarily know who they were before it happened. But they both committed suicide. And people ask the question, why are these rich, successful people who have everything committing suicide? It's almost being considered an epidemic. And they say, well, in some cases and more in your ages, they'll say, well, it's because of bullying. And if we can educate people more about bullying, there won't be this problem of suicide. You know, it's not working. It's not bringing the numbers down. It's not fixing the problem that Hollywood has, or that we all have without the Lord. And you know, it's interesting to me that the source of satisfying our thirst in our life, and this applies to everybody sitting here in this room, no matter how old you are, is the Lord. And it starts with the cross. And I just want to turn back to, you know, the first time the word thirst is mentioned, it's actually implied many times before this, but when Moses hits the rock, it's specifically mentioned there. But I'd like to just mention, go back to those first few times very quickly from a gospel point of view, Exodus 15. It says there, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. People murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. And then if we just turn over quickly to Exodus 17, the next. Chapter. It says, and the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" The people thirsted there for water. The people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord and said, "What shall I do unto this people? For they almost be ready to stone me." The Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee the elder of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take it in thy hand and go, and behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock at Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So here we have two situations where there was no water. In one case, they had to take a tree, throw it in the waters, and they could drink it. The other case, Moses had to strike the rock. You know, if we turn to the New Testament in Corinthians, it makes it crystal clear what that rock was. It says that rock was Christ. And we know that the Lord had to die on the cross. The source of you being satisfied in your life starts with the cross of Christ. And everybody here has probably heard the gospel a thousand times, and I hope everyone in this room is saved. I really, but you'll never be satisfied without the Lord, and it starts at the cross. You know, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know, that's come out over and over over the last few days, that it's the Lord Himself. You know, it's interesting. The Lord Himself makes it crystal clear that if you are thirsty, He is where you should go to be satisfied. I'd like to turn to two verses, very, very well-known verses. that make this clear. Actually, we have a whole chapter in John 4, and I'm not going to turn to it or even go through that story of a woman who was thirsty in her life. She went to all different sources, caught no thirst. The Lord comes, and He wants to satisfy her thirst so that she'll never be thirsty again. And you know, if I think, I hope that 5 years from now, if the Lord doesn't come, I don't come and find out, oh, one of these people here in this room decided that they didn't want to follow the Lord anymore, and they went and started hanging out with their friends and lived with their girlfriend or boyfriend, and that's where they are. You know, that's a solemn thing. It's not going to satisfy the thirst in your life. You have that whole story in John 4 where the Lord makes it crystal clear that He can give water that will come into us and spring up in everlasting life. So that's a beautiful thing. But the two other verses I'd like to turn to before we go on to some more examples is John 6. I think this verse was even referred to. 35. Actually, we'll go back to 34. They said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Him that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Absolutely crystal clear here. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. And if you go over to John 7... It says in verse 37, it says, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. This was a general cry that went out at this feast that the Lord, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to Me. You know, the broken person who's... I was talking to Phil Jennings, and he was telling us about a lady who just was... She said she was praying, and she was struggling with drugs, but she was just clearly thirsty, absolutely thirsty to have that satisfied, have satisfaction in her life. The Lord delights, He wants to satisfy the thirst of everybody's heart. So, you know, just before we move on to the examples of people and thirst that I want to get into, what happened when the Lord was thirsty? What's really in our hearts? You know, if you go back to Psalm 69, it prophetically says, you know, in my thirst I gave you vinegar to drink. When the Lord was thirsty, what's the natural heart give him? Something powerful. But the Lord loved us. You know, you read that over and over in the Gospels. Of the Lord, of them giving Him vinegar to drink. It's a solemn thing to consider. And you know, one thing that we reject the Lord as our Savior. You know what? It struck me, and I'm not going to turn to this portion. But this is a very solemn thing for every one of you. If there's somebody here who's rejecting the Lord, think of the rich man and Lazarus. Where did the rich man end up for all eternity? He just wanted one drop of water for his tongue. It's a salt. You know, for the believer, there's complete thirst satisfaction for eternity. For the people who reject the Lord, it's complete dying for just a drop of water to satisfy the tongue. Searching things to consider. You know, I don't know how to tell you in your life to go to the Lord to satisfy your thirst. It's something I still need to learn more of myself. And I know the Lord, and I've seen how He's satisfied. You know, it's interesting to me just to sit and realize, you know what, I'm content and thankful that the Lord has washed my sins away, and I have a hope and a future before me that I don't need to be worried about what's happening politically. I don't need to be worried
I have an absolutely incredible hope in front of me. And I can sit and be satisfied. But you know, what I would like to do now in the next 25 minutes is there are practical aspects in our life in a daily situation where the rubber really needs to hit the road with our thirst. And you know, you're going to go, I go to work tomorrow. This morning I got an email when I was doing my timesheet. I had to do work this morning. There was a flood at my work. And you know, the natural thing is to just get frustrated. Because we had the same thing happen a few months ago. And we thought we put in a sensor to have an alarm. And it didn't happen. And you know, all of the little things of every day we can take to the Lord to satisfy our thirst. And so the first, I'd like to just go through, if we go back to Genesis 21, and a lot of these are more applications than maybe the direct principles of the passages, but I'd just like to turn to them. Genesis 21, verse 30. Abraham, you know, he had a tent, but and he traveled around Canaan, which God had promised him, but he needed a source of water, and he had to dig wells. And it says in verse 30, it says, "For these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness of me, that I have digged this well." Therefore they called that place Beersheba. I'm not going to get into this, there had been strife previously, but, you know, every day, as we live this life, water to live. If we don't have water, we'll die. And you know, I think it was actually an excellent idea this morning to have you guys go off and read your Bibles for a period of time. The Word of God is water to us. And we need that every single day of our life. It's the basis, the foundation with which our thirst can be where we get that satisfaction from the Lord. And you know, I hope that each one of you have established the habit of reading your Bible every day. Because that's where it starts. And I thought, again, what Josh mentioned about this yesterday was so excellent. It was formed in me when I used to go to Billis Holly's camp in Newfoundland, and made us go read for 15 minutes every night before we went to bed, and that helped. And then he would ask us questions in the morning to make sure that we didn't just waste our time, which some of us didn't like. But having that habit of going for water every single day in that way is an incredible habit that I hope you guys develop. So we need it quenched in our daily life with the Word of God. And I mentioned that. The next one I'd like to turn to is in, let's actually go back in the same chapter, chapter 21, verse 12 to 19. This is an interesting story, and it's a result of Abraham failing. You know that he had a son with Hagar, his handmaid, and there was trouble between Isaac and this boy, and he had to put him out and into the wilderness, and he gets thirsty, and his mother can't handle it. She goes, she puts him under some shrubs, and she basically goes away because she doesn't want to see him die. It's a pretty nasty picture. It's a hard story to even fully comprehend, but it's, you know, that boy, let's just read what it says. Chapter 21. Verse 16, "And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' She sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him, and hold him in thine hand, and I will make of him a great nation.' And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." What I want to just bring out here is, this is a desperate situation. They cry out.
to Elijah. He cries out and God answers the prayer. You know, sometimes in our life there's desperate situations. You know, God hears when we cry out to Him. I don't know the circumstances of your life. Maybe you're young. Maybe as you get older there's more complications. I don't know. Maybe your complications are running out. When we cry out to the Lord, He hears us. And He wants to satisfy the needs. And he did that here. And it's just an encouragement for me to see how in a desperate situation, when this prayer was answered, or this cry to the Lord was answered. Then if you go on to Genesis 26, I'm not going to go into this in detail, actually. And this has to do, again, with our daily life. Josh had talked about the need to not only have a devotional, but do some digging. And you know, Isaac's, the wells that his father had dug, they got filled in, and he had to dig them out again. And I know this has been talked on many times. I don't know, some of you may not remember that or not, but sometimes it requires a little bit of digging on our part. And what I find interesting here, it is tied to his relationship with the Lord. Let's just read what it says there. It says, he builded an altar there and called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. You need to do a little bit of digging. You know, it's not just enough to spend 30 seconds when your eyes are open in the morning. It is good, a good thing to do. But it's nice when you try and do it on the alert. You can do a little bit more digging than that. You know, my tendency, and I use my phone sometimes to read just because I don't turn the light on. Sometimes I read directly from my Bible. It's nice to do both, but we need to do a little bit of digging. But it's absolutely crucial to daily life. And there was even strife in the situation. And you know, when we get into trouble in our life, and it just seems like there are situations that we don't know how to deal with, we can go to the Word of God and ask for help. You know, in my life right now, there's a situation that has been a huge burden to Lindsay and I over just the last few weeks. And I feel absolutely helpless because I don't know how to fix it. But you know what? I can take it to the Lord. And I can read His Word and just get comfort. And that frustration that builds up in me every time I think about this situation, if I take it to the Lord, it dissipates. It takes away that thirst and that trouble. And you know, I'm very, very thankful for that. And maybe there's something in your life, maybe there's a frustration, maybe it's you struggle with math and you hate math and just every time you write a test, you freeze up, and your parents are forcing you to study it, and you just... There are things, very real things, when things like that. You know, I started working in golf when I was 16, and I made stupid mistakes, and my tilt wouldn't balance, and I was... If you were more than $2, they'd become a lot more lax. If you're more than $2 out, you get written up, and three times you were like, oh, that happened to me twice. And it was a stupid thing, and I knew that they were satisfied with my work, but it drove me crazy. You know, you take even little things like that to the Lord, and He can help us with them. Next one I'd like to turn to is Joshua 15. Again, very well known. This is Aksa. Joshua 15. The children of Israel had been brought into the land of Canaan, and they were distributing up the land, and it's being given out, and there's a girl here, Aksa, the daughter of Caleb, and she asked for something special. She asked for springs of water. You know, sometimes we desire blessings in our life,
The Lord
delights to give us the things that make us happy. And I know that may not seem always like that's the case, but it's interesting to see how, let's just read what it says here. It says, it came to pass that she came unto him, and she moved him to ask of her father a field. She lighted off her ask, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldst thou? Who answered, give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water. And he gave her upper springs and nether springs. She wanted springs of water. I don't know, I was trying to ask myself, why. She probably just wanted it for good drinking water that was easy to access and maybe a beautiful place to have land. I don't know the exact reason she wanted. You know, the Lord delights to give us the desire, what desires our hearts. In Psalm 37, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. You know, the funny thing is, he doesn't necessarily give us it the way that we think he's going to give us. And I'll give you three examples. One with my mother, one with myself, and one with my wife. My mother definitely wanted to go to university. My grandfather didn't think that they should. She wanted to be a nurse or a doctor, and the Lord gave her a job helping a pediatric doctor, and she was basically doing the same work up until she got married. She also loved kids, and the Lord gave her 11 children. You know, she didn't necessarily have it easy. But God knows what the desires of our heart are. And he likes it. When I was your age, I went through a messy relationship. I dated a girl for 2 years. We broke up. It was very hard on me, emotionally. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to wait for 2 years. And it was the toughest 2 years of my life, probably. You know, in the end, the Lord answered my prayers, bang, bang, bang. But just when you're in that period of you don't know what the Lord's doing or how he's doing it or what he's going to do, it can be tough. Lindsay, back when we were married, we were married 20 years this year, she always joked to me about saying, oh, I'd love to run a bed and breakfast. I just sort of laughed and thought, the Lord would never, ever. That's like an impossibility. And, you know, just last year we did above our garage so that we could have visitors, and it came up that maybe we should put it up for Airbnb. And, you know, we've been doing that for last year, and she loves it. It's just a small little thing that she can do with the Lord. The Lord gave that one. Just something that she enjoyed. The Lord, he delights to do that. You know, it's not, often he steers us in the complete opposite way of the way we think we should be doing before he gives us these things. But he does. He delights to give. You know, it's remarkable when you read the Apostle Paul in prison. He says, I wish you were just like I am, except for these bonds. You know, it almost seems incomprehensible to consider that. But that is the way the Lord works. And, you know, when you're in the middle of a situation when the Lord hasn't answered your prayers and hasn't answered your prayers for years, it can be very tough. But it's not because he won't satisfy your thirst. You know, it's interesting when you look at the struggles in the wilderness. The Lord pushed them to the point where they were thirsty. And it was a desperate situation. But he did answer their prayers. So the acts of the Lord delights to bless us in our lives. Another one, Samson. Let's turn to Judges 15. And again, this was more of an application, but let's just read. We all know Samson had a jawbone and he killed 1,000 men with it. The Lord used him for deliverance of Israel in an incredible way. But after he did that, he was absolutely exhausted. and thirsty. And let's just read what it says here. It says, he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? And God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he was revived. You know, Lord, when we are exhausted, delights to satisfy our thirst. You know, Lindsay and I have been talking about this because our summer is insanely busy this year. It just seems like it's from now until Labor Day weekend is almost beyond comprehension with busyness. You don't want to get to the point where you've read it, and most of the things that are going on, we really feel before the Lord we should be doing. You know, Samson was doing here what the Lord, I believe, wanted him to do, but he was exhausted. And you know, I think of those times in your life when you're really trying to do what the Lord has put on your plate to do, and you are exhausted. You know, the Lord wants to satisfy your thirst in those situations too. I'd just like to go to David in Psalm 23. Just three more and we're done. Well-known psalm. I appreciate this. Let's just read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David's reflecting here. And I really appreciate in looking at this, it has rest, refreshment, restoration, and renewal. It says that he maketh me to lie down, rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Refreshment, he restoreth my soul, restoration. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Renewal. You know, there's times in our life when we're just done. And the Lord knows that. And he knows when we need rest. He knows when we need to be refreshed. He knows how to renew us and give us strength. And that's something he desires to do. And we need to do it, to seek that from him. And it's beautiful to see that in David's life. And if you look at David's life, he didn't necessarily, at the beginning when he was most of your guys' age up until he was 30, it was pretty rough going. And of course, at the latter end of his life, and it was a result of sin, it wasn't easy either. But this is what he could say the Lord did for him. And, you know, I think he appreciated refreshment so much when, you know, when he's reflecting on his mighty men. Who are three of the ones that he mentioned? The ones who are willing to lay down their life to get water from the well of Bethlehem. It's a valuable thing, too, not only for us to be refreshed from the Lord, but if we look across the room and say, hey, is there somebody here who I can refresh? You know, I'm a natural introvert. I actually struggle socially after about five minutes. It's a very valuable thing when somebody has the ability to bring refreshment to somebody else. Some people don't have to work on it as much as others, but it's nice when we can seek to bring refreshment to other people. The Lord delights to do that for us when we turn to Him. So, another one, Elisha. Let's turn to 2 Kings 19. Am I
might have the wrong reference on that.
I'm not going to turn to it, I guess. There was a the waters were spoiled, and you know, Elisha heals the waters. And you know, this world destroys the things of enjoyment for us very often, but the Lord is able to heal those waters. I won't get into that. You can look it up. Sorry. And just lastly, I'd like to turn to Malachi. It's the last one. Chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there be not room to receive it." You know, the Lord is able to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You know, ultimately, the hope that we're looking for, which we see in the future, in when the Lord sets up His kingdom on earth, and for the eternal state, and for it's just going to flow out in abundance. But the Lord, He wants to satisfy the thirst of everyone's heart. You know, that's really the what I've had on my heart today. But what I'd like each one of you to do as young people, and I don't know your individual situations, but if you could think of one thing that you're struggling with in your life, and you realize that there's a thirst there, that you may be tempted to go to broken cisterns for, to take that to the Lord and just ask Him to satisfy your thirst in that area. And I hope that if there's a young person here who's not saved, that they will come to the Lord. It says, actually, let's just turn to it in 1 Corinthians 10. The absolute source of our thirst being satisfied. There's no question as to who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 4, this is referring back to the children of Israel, but Paul is writing it to the Corinthians. But he makes it very clear who it was. It says, "They did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." My hope and prayer for each one of you is that when you have thirst in your life, that you will turn to the Lord for satisfaction. As you grow older, and there are things in your life that you want desperately, 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 that you'll go to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me in this situation." And He will. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But other than that situation, after you rejected the Lord and you're in eternity and you're crying out for a drop of water for your tongue, it seems like whenever you cry out to the Lord, He will, maybe not immediately, but He'll satisfy the thirst of your heart. And that is my hope. This is an incredibly practical thing if we apply it daily in our lives. Let's just pray.